The epistle and the gospel reading, of course, are well chosen for this time as we prepare ourselves for the great fast, also called Lent. We hear about problems in the church in Corinth, which I don't need to repeat, I think, especially for the younger among us. And also a problem with this young man who went off into the world and what he did and how he spent his money. The theme here in both the epistle and the gospel, and the theme of this Sunday as we prepare for Lent, is glorify God in your body. The Corinthians had a problem. They were Greeks. And Greeks, at this time in their religion, at the time of Paul, were dualists. Dualism is, as scholars suggest, probably something that came into the Mediterranean religious landscape from the Far East. Buddhist missionaries were already making inroads into the area. And if you know anything about Buddhism or any of the older Asian religions, you know about the dualism that is there. You may have heard of the yin and the yang, right? In dualism, and again, this is not something native to the Mediterranean religions as far as we can see, but has come into them a few centuries before Christianity comes on the scene there. In dualism, there is a belief that the body is meaningless or even evil. This whole material world, evil or irrelevant, depending on which cult you belong to. The reason is because they believed, as I've explained to you before, that there were good gods originally, one good god, depending on the cult, that created spirit children. These are the spirit gods who created the spirit children. And then the bad gods, the evil gods, didn't like the spirit gods, and so they decided to capture the spirit children of the good gods. And the way they did this was by creating the material world, this earth, which is one big prison, Alcatraz. And your body, they created to capture these little spirit children, snatch them from the heavens, so that they'd be weighed down on the earth. And so the dualists saw their bodies as prison cells, individual prison cells, and this earth and the whole material world as part of this big prison that had been used to take us from our spirit parents. If you know anything about Mormonism, you probably have heard some of these same funny ideas. This is dualism. It's also heresy. God created everything. There is one God, and He created everything. And it was very good. It may be corrupted, but that means it needs to be restored, not destroyed. And so this is what Christianity comes up against in the evangelization of the Gentile world. And this is why you hear about these strange things going on in the church in Corinth, where Paul didn't have these problems in some other places. This is a major problem in Corinth. The Corinthian Christians have been baptized into Christ. They are part of the community. The church is there well established by Paul. But in Paul's absence, they've started to go back to eating the food offered to idols in the local temple, thinking, well, it really doesn't matter what I do with my body. I can eat food offered to Zeus because Zeus is no god and my body doesn't mean anything anyway. Someday, and this is how a dualist thought, when I die, I will get released from this prison, this body and this earth, and I'll float back up to my parents, my spirit parents, and push the planets around. So for them, salvation was an escape from the material world. And so they didn't care what they did with their body. They would go to the cult prostitutes, Temple of Venus. Didn't matter, they said. What does it matter what I do with my body? It'll be done away with shortly. My body's irrelevant. It is evil. And Paul has to correct them and say, no. God created you both material and immaterial. And both the material and immaterial aspect of you were created good and for good, not for evil. Paul has to go on to explain to the Corinthians and prove to them that Jesus rose from the dead later on in the same epistle. Why does he have to do that? Because for them, the idea that Jesus would die and lose his body, oh, fine, nice. But he would rise with his body again? Oh, no. So Paul has to explain to them that the problem is they're trying to understand the Judeo-Christian tradition from a dualistic pagan background. You might say, well, thank God we're done with that stuff, huh? Really? Is that not the problem today? Even among Christians. Ask the average Christian what will happen when you die. Well, my body will be buried, and then what will happen? Well, my soul will float off under the clouds. Maybe you stop at the pearly gates. Who knows the story you're talking to, whatever individual. And then eventually what happens? Well, then I'll go into heaven. And then what happens? Well, then I'll be there. And well, what will you do? Well, I'll play an instrument maybe. I always want to pick up the harp. And then I'll maybe sing a little song for a while. Handel's Messiah. Alleluia chorus maybe. How long is that going to go on for? Well, forever. Salvation in heaven is forever. That's pure heresy. That's absolute, unadulterated heresy. That's dualism. So while Paul was trying to fight it, John was trying to fight it in his gospel, dualism crept back in. And the average Christian today is a dualist. And what that does then is create a problem, the same problem that the Corinthians had. Does it matter what I do with my body? As Paul teaches, yes, it does, because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit here on earth. And so what you do with your body matters. And it's that same body that's going to be raised from the dead. And you will have that body in eternity here on earth when Christ comes to raise you from the dead. So, it matters what we do with our body. Last week we heard about the sin of pride, right? The Pharisee and the publican. I am much better than that guy because I fast. I do not sin. I do not do this. I don't like that tax collector. Right? We heard that gospel to prepare us for Lent as we begin to fast, as we begin to pray and begin more spiritual exercises through the fast, to not become self-righteous and prideful like that Pharisee. Spiritual and intellectual sin. Here today we talk about bodily, physical sin. In the gospel we heard of a similar story. We have a man who has two sons, an older and a younger. And the younger says to his father, let me have everything. Let me have what's coming to me, Dad. Which means, I wish you were dead. And because I can't wait for you to die, I want my stuff now. You can't get anything more insulting in ancient Semitic culture. And so his dad gives him his inheritance. Now whose is that? Is that really his or is it his father's? It's his father's. So everything he has been given to him. But what does he go and do with what his father gives him? He goes off and lives a life of licentiousness. And he finds himself finally in the gutter. And comes to his senses. And realizes where he was and where he now is. And what he's done. So he decides to get up and go back to his father in repentance. Father, I've sinned against heaven, against God, and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son with what I've done, with what you've given me, this life, this wealth. And so I'd ask you just to treat me as one of your servants that I may work in the field with them and be fed. And his father says, come. Notice the father was waiting for him. The father was watching. And before the son got to the house, the father ran out to the son. Brings him in, clothes him, puts the clothing back on him, right? That he's returned, clothing of righteousness. Puts a ring on his hand, a sign that he's part of the family again, and now they celebrate. And so this is a very important story for us to hear as we enter into Great Lent. All of us have some sort of sin or difficulty, some imperfections at the very least, in our lives that we need to work on. Maybe it's impatience. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's jealousy, strife, or whatever, pride. Who knows what it is? But whatever that what we've noticed in your life that is a problem that continuously comes up over and over again, we can find ourselves in the story of this prodigal son. And we can have courage that we can repent even now and through this Great Lent. We return back to our Father's home. And we will find Him, as always, a loving Father with open arms, waiting as He always has for us to turn back to Him with a repentant heart, with a decision to live differently from how we had lived before. Let us glorify Jesus Christ, who died and rose from the dead for our salvation with His eternal Father and His all holy good and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever, unto ages of ages. Amen.